It is 20 to 5 here on the coast. Shadow Company explores the nature of contemporary warfare, one which includes private military companies.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Freedom Radio on 107.7 FM, Baghdad.
Hi, all. In brief, for those of you who don't already know, I quit the job at the law firm, and I'm now working for a private security company in Iraq. I'm on a six-on, three-off rotation, 6 weeks on, 3 weeks off. The contract is huge. 200 men doing close protection tasks, or PSD, as the Americans call it. There are swarms of other firms of private contractors all over the place. Some complete cowboy outfits. But this one is fairly sharp, so I'm not too worried about getting killed. Besides, I've promised Debbie, Jill, Alice and Natasha that I'll come back alive.
That is a clip from Shadow Company screening at the Vancouver International Film Festival. Nick Bichinich joins me now. He is the producer behind, based here in Vancouver, behind the documentary about really modern-day mercenaries, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a film about, modern-day mercenaries. They go by many names, private military contractors. Some people call them private security contractors. They also have the so euphemistic title of international peace operators. But they're one and the same thing. They're essentially people who have many years of experience frequently in nation-state armies that are currently working for the private sector.
So James Ashcroft, who we just heard there in that tape, how does he self-describe?
James Ashcroft describes himself, well, it depends who he's talking to. He has no problem describing himself as a mercenary. He doesn't necessarily do it as a joke. His actual job is that of a private security contractor when he's working in Iraq. But you see, this is one of the fascinating things about this industry is that the exact same skill set is often used for wildly different tasks. So, for example, in an attempted overthrow of Equatorial Guinea, a small country in West Africa, this is a subject that's discussed in the film, that Margaret Thatcher's son part-financed, that happened 2 years ago. A number of the people involved in that were working as security contractors in Iraq 1 week, and then 2 weeks later they were involved in an attempted overthrow of a country. The fact is, not many of the guys in the industry actually do that. Most of them tend to do fairly regular, fairly boring and mundane security jobs. But the fact that they're able to do that, and there's a huge amount of guys out there in the private sector who have these skills, is fairly scary, and one of the primary reasons why we made this film, because a lot of people should be aware of the fact that there's these kinds of worlds around.
Where are the gaps, actually, then, when it comes to international law, when it comes to domestic law in whatever country they happen to be operating in, the loophole that allows them to do the work that they're doing?
It very much depends on what country you're talking about. For example, let's consider the scenario of Iraq, because that's something that's very much discussed nowadays, and although it's not the only thing talked about in the film, it's one of the key subjects. One of the things that the U.S. government did when they invaded Iraq was that they actually stipulated that by law, security contractors working in that country cannot be prosecuted under local laws. This did not mean then and does not mean now that they can operate in a lawless environment, because there are still international laws that apply to them and a number of other very complicated laws that I have to say I'm by no means the expert at them. Nonetheless, the fact that they don't have to abide by local laws is a very scary environment, because, you know, if you can go around and point guns at people and push them off the road simply because that's your job and you can't get prosecuted for it, then it's not very far removed to consider that when shots are fired because somebody is thinking that someone is a threat who's approaching them because they think it might be a suicide bomber, certain people could be killed. And in that environment, if you can't be prosecuted as an individual, well, soldiers can be prosecuted for that, and they frequently are. If you're a civilian and you can't be prosecuted in that environment, that scenario can easily create problems.
So is it that you're operating without the legitimacy of a nation behind you? Is that it?
Well, yeah. At the end of the day, there is no legitimacy behind that aside from the contract. So obviously you're protected by the contract, and obviously if you break the terms of the contract as a company, you can lose the contract. As an individual, you can lose the job. But what is necessary, and that's one of the things the film talks about, is not just a greater amount of legislation to cover this area, but also a greater amount of transparency. We need to point out to everybody, not just the governments, but also the general public, who these people are, what they do, and why. And it's important to note that it's not all bad. I mean, there's a huge amount of stuff that goes on that's very necessary. For example, when the Red Cross or the United Nations goes to operate in certain conflict areas, a lot of these NGOs, non-governmental organizations, frequently need the help of private military companies simply because if they didn't, their aid workers would get shot to pieces, because that's the kind of environment they often are forced to function in. So I'm not by any means suggesting that the simple idea of private security is a bad one. It's just that it's one that deserves to be looked at in far more detail.
Because somewhere there's a moral line being crossed by some groups, is what you're suggesting, right?
I'm suggesting that the strong possibility exists that the moral line is no longer even a line, but it's a blurred area which is crossed on a regular basis. So if we as a society want to reinstate a moral line, the first thing we have to do is to understand what the hell's going on right now. And the only way to do that is to provide people more and more information. That's one of the key things we try and do with the film.
What's one of the lines from the film about the Wild West, George Bush sanctioning essentially a free-for-all?
Essentially,
zone.
Yeah.
George, I mean, are these guys cowboys? Would you consider?
I would not consider them cowboys as a rule. I would definitely say there are cowboys amongst them, and I think they would say that themselves. I've been fortunate during the course of the documentary to get to know a number of individuals, both in this industry, both ones that actually are so-called shooters, meaning they carry the weapons and they're on the quote-unquote front lines of the conflict, but also the guys who own the companies themselves. And one such individual is Alan Bell, who owns a company based in Toronto called Globe Risk. And Alan is a super experienced guy. He spent 20 years in the British SAS, and he is the ultimate professional, and he is the kind of guy who he's honest about absolutely everything that he does. He's above board. He openly states things that he's chosen not to get involved in that he's been offered that would have gotten him lots of money, but it would have caused him to cross an ethical line in his mind. There are certainly individuals that are not like that, and some of them might just be guys who go there just because they want a bit of money, and they might be a bit trigger happy. And it's good to see that if for no other reason than films like this one are causing the industry to essentially open up a lot more and to say, well, look, we really want more transparency because these cowboys are giving us a bad name. So it's definitely in everybody's interest to be aware of the subject, including the industry that we're actually examining.
Now, how did you get drawn into this? Coming from here, being based here anyways now.
The person whose voice we heard, James Ashcroft, I went to university with him. And although I lost track of him after university, what happened was is a number of years later, he sent me this email saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to be a mercenary. And I initially thought, well...
That's what it said in the email?
More or less. And I didn't believe it. I thought it was, because to me, the whole idea of a mercenary was some sort of a stereotype of guys with knives in their teeth who go and overthrow countries. And the fact is, those guys don't really exist. So what he was essentially saying, he was making a joke. He was going to be working in the private sector. I knew he used to be a soldier. What that caused me to do isn't to immediately go, oh my God, there's a movie and I've got to make it. But I actually started thinking, what's he doing? You know, what is this world? And then he essentially was my conduit into trying to seek out more knowledge about this particular industry. And I discovered there wasn't much out there. So the more I found out, the more fascinating stories I heard about what was happening in Iraq and Afghanistan and in many countries elsewhere in the world, including various different small West African countries, I decided that there is a story here that people deserve to find out about. And so it so happened that my profession was film, so I decided that I was going to combine two things together. One is my desire to tell people this important story. The second thing is I wanted to make something that, at the end of the day, I wanted to be an entertaining film as well. So I hope you found it fun to watch in addition to being informative.
Interesting, to say the least. And we haven't even, and we will not have time, unfortunately, to talk about, again, the corporatization of what has been a fairly traditional means of fighting, which is mercenary. But I want to thank you for at least giving us a taste of it this afternoon.
Cool. I just did want to say that one thing that we thought was really key is that we want to get this word out to as many people as possible. So we decided to actually self-distribute the movie in order to save time and not spend 6 months trying to get the best distribution deal possible. We were actually offered quite broad distribution deals, but we decided against it because they would have required us to delay getting the message out. So www.shadowcompany.com is the only place you can see exclusive footage from the film as well as order the DVD.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Nick Bichinich is the producer of Shadow Company. It is screening as part of the Vancouver International Film Festival. Check it out, and then maybe you might want to pick it up off the website if you are so inclined. The show tomorrow night's at 7 o'clock over at The Ridge. It's also playing again on Monday. I happen to have a couple of pairs of tickets to these shows. Send us an email now, onthecoast@cbc.ca. Put Shadow Company in the subject line, and they are yours.